Introducing the all-new Mazda CX-5, featuring more connection.
Hey, Google, where's the nearest Pilates class?
Safety that has your back. More discovery on the scenic routes. More passion in the details. And more control in changing weather. The all-new Mazda CX-5. More to move every side of you. See it in 5 films at MazdaUSA.com/5sides.
Google is a trademark of Google LLC. Sequences shortened and simulated.
Bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday. It is Friday, May 29th. It's illegal that it's fixing to be June. I don't know how that's possible.
I know. Somebody said June 1st is the official first day of summer.
Yeah, and it's like the half, you know, it's like the sixth month of the year. We start feeling like the year's like halfway done. Mm-hmm. I was sick the first half of this week, so then I was like, today I go, what day is it? Oh God, it's Thursday already. And my mom was like, yeah, it comes right after Wednesday. It just, I feel like the days are catching up. Is it because we're at most at war and violent conflict than we have been since World War II? Is it because CERN ripped a hole in the space-time fabric? Who knows? Are we just, am I just fixing to be 40? I don't know. You tell me.
I think it's all of the above. Yeah. I think, I saw something the other day about CERN and whenever they did something like 10 years ago, it fucked everything up. And now our time isn't the same. Well, so that's why people feel like there's less hours in the day or and I don't know.
It's accelerating. Well, they also said, well, they were like, I believe, and our science friends that listen can tell us, that they said they were going to try to move antimatter. And I don't think that's a good idea because they're like, we haven't really had it outside of a lab. I'm like, don't put it in a truck. People are terrible at driving.
What is it even?
Great question.
Is it a physical thing you can hold?
You put it in a real strong bucket with a lid on it. You got to top it. It's like a big snake.
Is it like something you can hold?
is it bigger
liquid
than a bread box?
Is it a form of like a hard thing you pick up?
I envision it like kinetic sand, but I don't think that's right at all. I think that's just what my feeble human mind envisions. I think it's like something in a like super microscopic, I guess, but you have to keep it in big machinery. I don't know, man. It's crazy business.
And see, don't this is why nobody knows where we came from, where we've been, where
I know,
because nobody knows any of this stuff.
No, the people way back doing the cave drawings, they all knew because they were there. They were meeting the real people. But but we've had so many real people, speaking of which, right in so many wonderful
stories. I assume all of you are real. If I find out one of you is a bot,
hey,
or first of all, how'd you
great job
write all this?
Also, that does your family know? And if you're a non-human entity, write about that instead. These are all great stories, but you're burying the lead.
Oh, my. If you believe that you are a non-human entity, because I saw a video yesterday, I don't think this. People have said it probably can't be proven, but some scientists think that if you look in DNA, there's like a specific marker that can be traced back to like the Nordic aliens.
Oh no.
And that basically you can like get your DNA tested to see if you're one of these fine folks. So maybe we all are. I
definitely am waiting for, if disclosure day is like, listen, the reason why we bought all those 23andMe companies is because we were trying to find you guys. But I always feel like the eugenicists spoil the party for everyone. They're like, or the white supremacists are like, yes, the one gene is blonde hair and blue eyes, it looks like me. But if there is like one that's traceable to like multiple different people, I would be more apt to believe that and be like, maybe that's what disclosure day is. You're all going to get activated like sleeper agents, which we recently learned about sleeper agents in a video with the CIA guy.
That we will have to do a whole other episode of. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. I honestly did. I was like, you're telling me in Russia, they have a place that is like a little America, and they will take kids from age 2 and raise them in this little America. So they learn English. I mean, you can't even really tell, detect mm-hmm. an accent. They're also learning Russian. They go through like American school, watch American TV, so they know all the references and pop culture. And then one day they get shipped off to the United States with the direction of, one day we're going to call you and you might just get a series of numbers and it's go time.
You decode the numbers and that's what your message is, and you have to listen to them or they will come and kill you. It sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
So, man.
And your job is probably to go and kill somebody else.
Yeah,
so it's,
easily. Or steal something or, yeah.
Yeah.
Espionage. It, go get a job
it
somewhere.
It was fascinating. Fascinating info. Stuff.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. Well, thank you all for your fascinating stories that you sent in today. If you are a sleeper agent, also send it in at sinister.com/Freaky Friday.
Anonymous.
Yeah, we won't tell anybody it's you.
No.
Oh, we'd love to. We'd love to. But also, when you're on our website, make sure you go to the live shows tab and get all the information on Crime Wave at Sea 2027, February 8th through 12th. Get on the ship with us. I will not sound like Kathleen Turner by then, I promise.
I am so looking forward to it.
Man, take me
and
away.
And the only thing that would make it more fun is if all of you were there with us. So.
And especially come if along. You're a non-human entity, please come with us, because then you can bring your friends from the sky and the sea. We'll meet in the middle on the boat.
Yeah. We can get into we'll be on three ships. A cruise one, a UAP above, and a UAP below.
A USO. Hell yeah, let's do it.
A USO. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you to all of our, what we assume are human beings that sent these in today. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Hannah. Always love this name because you can spell it the same way forwards and backwards.
Palindrome.
Mm-hmm. And Hannah is writing in about my family's true crime story. I've been binge listening to your podcast to get caught up. I heard about the podcast from And That's Why We Drink. I watched an episode y'all were on with M. Once I got caught up on their podcast, I started listening to y'all. My true crime story started when I was 12, back in 2002. My nanny, Kay Lewis, owned a bookstore in my hometown. It was called Candlewick Bookshop. When they moved from Douglasville, Georgia, up to the butthole of North Georgia, she opened this bookstore. People absolutely loved my nanny. They would go into her store just to sit and talk with her. She wouldn't talk as much, but listen to them and give them advice. On November 1st, 2002, a man was in her store. He was in there a few times. My papa would cover her store anytime she was sick. He knew exactly who she was talking about when she told him there was one more guy in the store. Once he left, she would lock up and come home. But that never happened. Her store was in downtown Cartersville, a cute little downtown area with an old train depot. Down about a block and a half, my uncles and dad owned a hippie store. After no one had heard from my nanny, my uncle walked down to the store. He noticed her car was still there, and the door to the store was still unlocked. He walked in and found her in the back of the store. She had been stabbed to death, and her jewelry was stolen. She was pronounced dead at the hospital. We were in the parking lot of the hospital, and I saw my dad run out screaming and crying, the first time I had ever heard my dad cry. The man had stolen her jewelry. Months later, he was finally identified because he pawned her jewelry. She had a mother's ring that had her son's and grandkids' birthstones in it. My mom was the one that identified it. The man is in prison for life. The state filed notice to seek the death penalty, but was denied. He filed motion for a new trial in 2013, but was denied. Boo-hoo, man. You were sentenced for malice murder, and now you get to spend your life in prison, I said when I heard about this from Papa. This was extremely hard on all of us. We recently lost my papa from brain cancer. He is now with her once again. Thank you for reading this. I love the podcast. I'd love to do a live show, but it is really hard for me to leave my little butthole town.
Aww.
I'm sorry. Butthole you said butthole twice in this, and butthole is a funny word.
It is a
and
funny
this
word.
Is not a funny story, but butthole is a funny word, and that is the only reason that I am laughing, Hannah, because what a sad, sad thing to happen to your family.
No, seriously. And thank you. You sent us some information outside of the story, and thank you for that. Your grandpa, your papa and nanny sounded like they had such a beautiful marriage. And so we're so close and spoke on the phone all the time, you know, while she was at work and he wouldn't be there. And that connection, I mean, horrific incident, but it was because she had was speaking to him and was able to tell him, hey, it's this guy. And because he cared for her so much and he would go up there and work for her, that he knew who that guy was. And so they were able to catch him. But just such a beautiful, warm community presence, like an anchor in the community. Your nanny is the type of person you wish opens a bookstore in the town, that you wish is a business owner. You want to be your neighbor. This is, Papa and Nanny are the perfect neighbors. And just to have it shattered for something so, so small and minute, like, you know, some jewelry, especially emotional jewelry that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. It's small to the man who just pawns it for a quick buck. And then the family member that identifies it is like, oh, this is the ring that has all of her kids' birthstones and her grandkids. And that is a gut punch.
Certainly. And bless your sweet uncle for having to find his mama. That's got to be something that, ooh, that'll wreck you, certainly.
In case you're not from the South, the butthole South, nanny is also what a lot of people call their grandmother.
Yes, yes.
It can be, because I know that can be confusing for like people in the UK, because it's usually someone that takes care of children, which is also used here. But I saw something the other day that was like, Southern people will just call their grandparents.
Truly. My mom had a nanny. That was her grandma.
Meemaw, Papaw, Pee-Pee,
we see
Peepaw,
a lot of memes.
Pop-Pop.
Yeah. Yeah, but I knew somebody whose kids called her mom Bubbles, which I loved. I was
Bubbles
like, that's so cute.
Cute.
Yeah.
I have a friend that her kids call her dad Sensei.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, fuck yeah. If we just pick any name we want.
Exactly. Yeah, just like, choose it out of
Queen,
my hat.
I'll go by Queen and nothing else.
Exactly. Bow down. Well, bless Nanny and Papa. And it sounds like they had a beautiful marriage. And you all were very blessed by the time y'all did have with them. But man, of Candlewick Bookstore, that sounds like something like out of a beautiful film, like a Hallmark movie.
It does. It sounds like a Hallmark movie. And I'm glad that that piece of shit is spending the rest of his life in prison. That's where he deserves to be.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, point of order. It feels like nothing is what it says it is anymore.
Point of answer? It's because everything has a catch.
Hey, or turns out to be something else entirely.
Like a total catfish situation.
Exactly, Bo.
Except for Hotels.com.
Yeah, that one's pretty literal.
Because it's Hotels.com. It's in the domain. You go there, you book hotels, hundreds of thousands of them.
And hold up, that's it?
That's it. Hmm. And when stays are booked as a member, rewards are earned every time.
Every stay?
Every stay. No tracking or managing, just rewards that can be used like cash on future bookings.
Which, by the way, already feels nicer than most rewards programs. Okay.
Yeah. Members can also get up to 20% off bookings, so savings start right away.
Does that mean no weird restrictions?
And no blackout dates. Book what works when it works. It's actually really fitting of real travel.
So the name is honest, you're saying? And the rewards are too.
Exactly. Hotels.com. It's all in the name.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Well, this next one is from Lucky, as in lucky to be alive. And the subject line is, a 13-year-old girl shot my ass, and I blame witchcraft. Lucky uses he, him pronouns and writes, magic is real, or at least it has been real enough in my life that I can't fully separate it from cause and effect anymore. I wasn't a disciplined practitioner. Since I was a kid, I treated witchcraft and the occult less like a sacred art and more like a game to play with to feel cool. I would cast spells carelessly, inconsistently, pulling spells from the internet or improvising my own, half believing and half just watching what would happen. Most of the time, nothing clean ever happened. If anything did, it was ambiguous enough to file away under coincidence, at least until the years right before college. My sister and I were both looking at a wall. No money for community college, no chance of out-of-state school. It wasn't even a question of how. It was just a closed door. So I did what I always did when I didn't know what else to do. I did a spell. It was a mantra-based verbal sigil. The intention was something like, my sister and I have the opportunity to attend our chosen school and complete our education. The method was simple in theory. First, you compress the intention into a single declarative sentence and write it down. No poetry, just exactly what you desire. Then you strip repeated letters from it until only the essentials remain. Then you recombine those letters into a new constructed word, an abstraction of your intent. Something that feels like language but doesn't belong to any language. A word that carries the intention with no prior association or meaning weighing it down. That new made-up, nonsense anagram of a word becomes the mantra. You repeat it over and over until it collapses under its own repetition and stops feeling like a word at all, just sound. The repetition pulls you into a trance-like state. You stop only after you feel some sort of physical shift. Then you release it and deliberately stop thinking about it. That's it. No candles or complex invocations required. A week later, after doing this spell, my father received some unexpected mail. Years ago, he had inherited mineral rights tied to a piece of land no one in the family had ever treated as significant. He actually forgot any of it was his. But according to this letter, oil had been found. Suddenly, money appeared where there had been none. And now the door that had been closed to us swung wide open. We could attend any school we wanted. And for us, that meant an expensive art school out of state. Classic teenager move. At the time, it felt like a joke the universe was making at my expense, but it worked. School was everything it was supposed to be. For once, I really fit in. I was popular, had good grades, I even made the dean's list. However, my sister had a much harder time at school. She made it through 3 years before leaving for personal reasons. Not long after that, the oil wells dried up, and shortly after that, I was pulled out as well. At first, I told myself it was unrelated, but I didn't stop thinking about timing. Did my spell bring the oil money that sent us to school? Did the oil money dry up because my sister dropped out? Or is it just another coincidence? But if it wasn't a coincidence, maybe what was done and undone can be done again. Besides, I wasn't ready to leave school just yet, so I did what I always did. I did another spell. Same method, same structure, new intention. I have an opportunity to stay in school. I hadn't officially dropped out yet. I was just drifting, living in the city, working, paying rent, delivering pizza in town that felt split down the middle, restored historic blocks for people who had money, and decaying apartments only a few streets away for everyone else. It didn't take long for me to stop feeling like I belonged. Not among the art students, not among the workers, something in me just degraded. Months passed like that. I got sharper, meaner, more reactive. Small moments started feeling personal. Then one night, on a delivery in one of the everyone else neighborhoods, it happened. I couldn't find the address. I was already irritated, already visible in the wrong way. Across the street, a group of kids noticed me struggling, laughing, pointing. I called out something sharp and dismissive. They answered back in this harsh, childish way. I was ready to let it go. They weren't. I finished the delivery, got back to my car, put the key in the door. Then someone touched my shoulder from behind. When I turned around, there was a figure close to me, small, youthful, with a sparkle in their eye and a half smile on their face. And in their hand was the little American dream, a gun. They spoke quickly, demanding money, cash from the delivery, less than $20. I gave it to them. Then they pulled the trigger. For a second, my body didn't process the pain. I was enraged. I remember screaming, not in fear or pain, but in a kind of sudden animal rage that overrode everything else. I tried grabbing them. I don't know what for, but reality soon caught up. I stopped, went back to the car, hands shaking, adrenaline boiling, and I called 911. Later, the ambulance confirmed it. The shot had gone through my arm. Significant nerve damage, especially in my fingers. Nothing immediately life-ending, but permanent damage. The shooter had already disappeared into the neighborhood. At first, the description I gave was vague. youthful, short, ambiguous gender, voice high. But the official reports turned it into something it wasn't. By morning, my vague description turned into a 16-year-old black male, which didn't match what I said at all. It caused a lot of confusion and a lot of back and forth between me and the police. Eventually, I was able to recall some specifics about what they were wearing, and I think that's when everything lined up for law enforcement. They made an arrest, and the identity shift somehow made the whole thing feel even stranger. The person behind the gun wasn't the 16-year-old boy the news was talking about. It was a 13-year-old girl. 13. I still remember looking at her picture afterward and feeling something difficult to explain. Not sympathy, exactly. Not anger, either. Just this awful feeling that reality had briefly slipped sideways. This is where the story stops having clean edges. Because after that, I packed up what was left of my college life and moved back in with my parents. They were happy to have me home. I was not happy to be there. And for years afterward, I couldn't stop circling one thought. Was this the opportunity I asked for? Not success, not scholarship money, not some miraculous loophole. Opportunity. A shooting while still enrolled. Possible lawsuit, a reason, however terrible, to stay attached to school financially if I had pushed hard enough. I never did. I was exhausted, injured, embarrassed, 20-something, and suddenly very aware that bad things happen to people for reasons that don't care whether you're spiritually prepared for them. Maybe it was coincidence. Maybe I'm desperately pattern matching tragedy into meaning. Or maybe, if magic works at all, it works with the brutal literalism of a cursed genie, because I got exactly what I asked for, an opportunity to stay in school, just not one I wanted. You'd think I'd stop practicing after that. I didn't. If anything, that experience made me take magic more seriously. Less improvising, less internet spell chaos, more study, more caution, more attention to wording and unintended consequences. Because whether all this was coincidence or not, I learned something. When you cast spells, spelling counts. So, thanks for all you do.
Lucky is right. That's every fear that we have when we're like, shut up, you damn teenagers.
Oh, my God.
To think that moments later, one of them so young, like you said, that what a description of like a rage where you're like, God damn it. Cause it's like a kid, right? You're mm-hmm. like, who gave the kid a gun? What mm-hmm. is happening here? Like, why is me? What's going on?
And such a perfect example of how quickly the media
mm-hmm.
blames
or the cops too.
A minority, a black kid, 16-year-old mm-hmm. black kid. Yeah. And the cops. And it's like, what? This was a 13-year-old girl.
Right. And the victim's like, maybe this high. I'm not sure. So you're saying a 16-year-old black male?
Yeah.
You're like, no. You're like,
I'm not saying that at all. I said ambiguous gender,
some
high
teenager?
Voice. Yeah. Wearing a hoodie. It's,
man,
this whole story has, it's like a roller coaster. And
really?
Lucky, I agree. And I also did this spell the other night. I was like, I don't even remember what I was asking for, but I like wrote down a sentence and then I took out like unnecessary words. So you just get down to like the meat of what it mm-hmm. is you want and then make an anagram out of that. And then that kind of becomes the word. And it was, I loved it. It was effective, but also I was like, this is an easy thing everyone can do. Wherever they are, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have to gather things for it and stuff. However, Lucky brings up a very good point that I've read about in many other books too, is that you have to be very literal when mm-hmm. asking what you want from the universe. And you could see, I mean, one could draw the conclusion, like, I mean, that was an opportunity to stay in school.
Right. It's definitely monkey's paw feeling of
yeah.
like, I'll do anything to stay at this school. And it's like, your entire family was killed in a gas mm-hmm. explosion. So you've actually, you're entitled to $4 million of life mm-hmm. insurance. And you're like, well, not anything. It's like, well, you said anything. So yeah. let's worry about that. I do try to, if I have manifestation or spell work, always be like, if it serves my best and highest purpose. Because I know we can want a lot of things, but sometimes you can't even fathom what you could want. And so oftentimes I'm like, I would like X if it is in my best and highest purpose. Because what if something better was coming and the universe was like, well, I was going to give you $1 million. You only asked for 150,000. So, okay. It's like, I always try to couch it in terms of like, whatever you might think that's better, though, or best offer. I'll take this. What I'm asking for.
OBO.
Or BOBO. But yeah, like, what a lesson learned, man. I feel like that's fascinating, though, that you wrote that, you know, did that sigil, and then the proverbial, like, check in the mail comes.
That's wild,
We all should do that. And may we all have uncles with gas, mineral oils on their land or whatever.
Yeah. And that is very interesting. And, I mean, you could say it's coincidence or you could say it isn't. I like to think that our words are spells and that spelling does count.
Truly.
Because you really have to be intentional with what you're asking for. I think it's a good lesson, not just when you're asking the universe for something and manifesting, but in your day-to-day life. Be descriptive about what you want. Vagueness often leads to unhappiness.
Right. No, that's a great put that on a t-shirt, but for real, you're, I mean, they say the same thing with goals.
Please, because I think we can all relate to that right now.
Truly. But also, like, you know, when you're setting goals, they say the more specific the goals are, the more measurable and all that stuff. So yeah, good job, Lucky. And I feel like we're lucky that you're our listener and that you shared this with us.
Absolutely.
And I hope your healing and everything went okay. Cause that's, let's not discount, you know, it's not life threatening, but life altering is truly a thing. And I think sometimes you might tell someone, oh man, I got shot. And they're like, where? And you're like, in the arm. And they're like, thank God. And you're like, well, actually, I would have liked to be shot zero.
Anymore because the nerves in my fingers are all fucked. But
I'd flip you off, but things are fucked up since then. No, so I hope you, you know, you get the care and consideration that you deserve. Cause I feel like, like I said, people be like, well, it could have been worse. It's like, it's still pretty bad.
That's something else you said, Lucky, that at first you didn't realize you'd been shot. That's like a thing.
Yeah.
That when people are shot, there's some physiological thing that at first you don't even, your body doesn't recognize that you've been shot.
The body's like, don't tell them yet. The brain's like, we're bleeding though. And it's like, shut up. Just hang on a second. Give him like 2 seconds so he can let him ease into it. Cause that's man. Cause you can't panic and also be, you know, bleeding out, but Godspeed.
It's a rough one for sure. God well, damn. Lucky, thank you for sending that in. And I look forward to all of the Freaky Friday emails next week that are like, I tried Lucky's spell.
Hell yeah.
And all the stories that come from it.
All the mailbox money. Sinisterhood will be right back.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey Bowen, point of order. It feels like nothing is what it says it is anymore.
Point of answer? It's because everything has a catch.
Hey, or turns out to be something else entirely.
Like a total catfish situation.
Exactly, Bo.
Except for hotels.com.
Yeah, that one's pretty literal.
Because it's hotels.com. It's in the domain. You go there, you book hotels, hundreds of thousands of them.
And hold up, that's it?
That's it. Hmm. And when stays are booked as a member, rewards are earned every time.
Every stay?
Every stay. No tracking or managing, just rewards that can be used like cash on future bookings.
Which, by the way, already feels nicer than most rewards programs. Okay.
Yeah. Members can also get up to 20% off bookings, so savings start right away.
Does that mean no weird restrictions?
And no blackout dates. Book what works when it works. It's actually really fitting of real travel.
So the name is honest, you're saying? And the rewards are too.
Exactly. Hotels.com. It's all in the name.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, this next one is from London and is called A 90s Pride Month Paranormal Extravaganza. Content warning, this discusses suicide. London writes, Dear Sinisterhood, first off, I love you both so much. In these dark times, you are both beacons of light. Whenever I'm feeling downhearted and in need of a good chuckle, I listen to the Denver Airport Conspiracy or the Clown Motel episode. Your rants on Lucifer's muscular taint and parking lot ham fucking are comedically unmatched. That being said, I also appreciate the sensitivity you bring to storytelling. It's not easy to balance grace and humor, but you two nail it every time. On to my tale, which I feel blessed for you to tell. Let me take you back to a simpler time. Upstate New York, 1996. Two teenagers, both alike in mental dysfunction. I had a habit of rushing out to the bus stop in the frigid New York winters and not buttoning up my coat. My patient friend Tom had a habit of wordlessly buttoning it up for me as we waited for the bus. We were good friends, good enough that I was nicknamed London and he was nicknamed Paris because we both had aspirations to someday become something bigger than our small town. Although it seemed at the time like we were just on the verge of full-blown adulthood, we were 15 and 16, an age that I, as a now 45-year-old, consider to still be childhood. But at the time, we did not feel so young. Tom had a gentle heart, but a reckless soul. He had those long, gorgeous eyelashes. You wonder why they were gifted to boys. They were a soft, light brown and a happy resting place for many snowflakes. We were both juvenile delinquents, looking for crimes and fun times. We watched Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back for the first time together in the bottom of his and his brother's bunk bed and gasped and clutched each other when Han Solo and Leia touched hands and almost kissed. Like any good 1990s juvenile delinquents, we loved to smoke cigarettes. We'd sneak them anywhere, outside school, at the mall, but mostly in the shed behind Tom's house. It was there we could talk about anything, and I learned how good it was to have a friend you could say anything to. In high school, I did half days at Votech, and one strange morning, someone told me Tom had died. I thought it was a joke. I laughed it off. Tom can't be dead. I'm sure he's just late. People love drama. They love to exaggerate. But when I came back to school, the harshest reality set in. Tom had chosen to end his own life. I cried for so many hours that when I touched my cheeks, they were rough with salt. I don't remember what the adults said at his funeral, except, "We are clay, and we return to clay." Our youngest friend ran up to the casket screaming and crying. She didn't understand why he was gone, and neither did I. To this day, it's the youngest person's funeral I've attended, and I hope to never match it. That night, as I lay in bed trying to sleep, I leaned up and looked out my window facing the backyard. A light in our shed was on. I ran downstairs, thinking maybe it was all an elaborate prank after all. Tom is still alive and he's waiting for me. We're going to laugh again. He's going to tell me this was all a joke. I'm going to punch him in the arm for what a fright this has all been. But no, when I went downstairs, it was dark. I walked to the shed and it was dark. Here's the thing. The shed had no electricity. What light did I see? Was it a grief hallucination? There was more than one reason. His decision was complicated. Part of that reason was he was bisexual and did not want to come out. I also was bi, but we were both too scared to be open with it. As punk as we were, as unafraid of rebellion or lawbreaking, we were still too frightened of the consequences it might bring. Our families disowning us, the scrutiny, the public mistrust. As an adult, 30 years after his death, sometimes I still imagine him walking beside me, me as I am at 45, and he as he was, forever 15. I tell him all the things he would have missed and all the things he wouldn't, which, as a pessimistic teen, I think he would appreciate. I think about Tom every Pride Month and wonder if it's my story to tell or not. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it just matters that we were friends in a troubled, uncertain time. The time of our youth. I miss you, Tom. Wherever your little punk-ass soul is, I wish you peace. Happy Pride. So much love. Your loyal listener, London.
Oh, London, I'm so sorry you lost your friend. But it does sound like, you know, you carry him with you all these years later.
What a beautiful tribute, London, to your friend Tom / Paris. I love that you gave yourselves nicknames. It is such a hard time, that 15, 16-year-old. I remember it like it was yesterday, and I remember sneaking cigarettes all the time. And it's funny because I was recently looking back through an old yearbook from around, it was 1996, and I was just thinking, man, we... Or at least me, I remember feeling like I was so much older than I was, and that everything that happened in our lives was had this like weight to it, and everything was like the end of the world, dire, you know. And now, of course, 47, I'm like, we were just kids. But even then, you're at an age where like you're not a kid anymore. You're not really an adult, but the feelings inside of you are just raging, and you don't know how to deal with them, good and bad. Mm-hmm. And when you can find a kid that's can relate to like what you're going through, the one person you might be able to confide the thing that's your biggest secret, you did so much for him.
Yeah, you did so much for each other. And those that time in your life, you do feel like things are catastrophic, life or death, like the choices. I know I remember thinking like, if I choose, you know, taking the wrong class or going the wrong path, like picking the wrong college and stuff. And it really is with time that you realize, you know, it is not the end of the world if insert whatever thing happens here. And, you know, things, you can recover from things, but because you are so young with that lack of maturity being thrust into mature situations, you know, your footing is so unsteady under you, and you can't, you know, you grab onto the folks around you. And I'm sure that you made his time here so much better than it could have been without you, you know, having nicknames, having a best friend. I had, you know, I'm lucky to still talk to some of my high school best friends. And I was recently talking to one of them about like crime in our area and how there've been a lot of students from our school that have passed away or been shot or whatever. And I just had this gut punch feeling of like thinking of what my friends' faces looked like when they were 15, you know, when we were 15, and then just all of the things that have happened between the last, you know, in the last 20 years, and just to have been robbed of that time with Tom. I'm so sorry for, you know, that you had somebody that meant so much. I'm glad he's still with you. As far as the light in the shed, you know, if that's where y'all went to go smoke cigarettes, maybe it was, you know, Tom lighting up one last one in your shed to be like, hey, I'm still out here. But I definitely know, you know, that feeling of like, you, especially if that you're in the hypnagogic phase, like half asleep, half awake, and you're like in that grieving period, because like, especially so fresh, every day you wake up is a fresh nightmare, because you like have to remember that like, oh yeah, he's still dead. Fuck. Yeah. It's Tuesday and he's still dead. So that any of those moments of hope and like, you know, the phone rings and it happens to be their number and you're like, maybe it's, oh no, it's definitely not him. It's probably his family or whatever. So bless your 15-year-old sweet little heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that grown up, you can take care of that 15-year-old's heart right now too.
Mm-hmm. I remember in high school, a friend of ours took his own life. Mm. We were probably, I believe he was even a little younger than me, so he was probably 15. That funeral was, to this day, the most attended funeral I've ever been to mm-hmm. the point where the church was packed, so they had to put speakers outside because so many people were outside to be there as well. And I think it is because that is also the youngest funeral I've ever been to still. But it's something like there were so many kids at our high school that knew him, and it's like – the first time you were kind of hit in the face with, and this is a thing that our friends might do.
Yeah, this could happen. And especially, you know, like in this case, you're expecting him to come to class, you know, like, oh, he's probably just late. He's just not here yet. Like you would never expect that or think that, but then it's on the table. But yeah, going to the funeral for a young person never gets easier. And I hope none of us have to go to one anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But bless you and happy pride to all of our LGBTQIA friends. And if you're listening, you're either that or an ally. Otherwise, turn it off. But happy pride to us all and to Tom. Shout out wherever your little punk ass soul is. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, point of order. It feels like nothing is what it says it is anymore.
Point of answer? It's because everything has a catch.
Hey, or turns out to be something else entirely.
Like a total catfish situation.
Exactly, Bo.
Except for Hotels.com.
Yeah, that one's pretty literal.
Because it's Hotels.com. It's in the domain. You go there, you book hotels, hundreds of thousands of them.
And hold up, that's it?
That's it. Hmm. And when stays are booked as a member, rewards are earned every time.
Every stay?
Every stay. No tracking or managing, just rewards that can be used like cash on future bookings.
Which, by the way, already feels nicer than most rewards programs. Okay.
Yeah. Members can also get up to 20% off bookings, so savings start right away.
Does that mean no weird restrictions?
And no blackout dates. Book what works when it works. It's actually really fitting of real travel.
So the name is honest, you're saying? And the rewards are too.
Exactly. Hotels.com. It's all in the name.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a content warning, this one also discusses suicide. This next one is from Anonymous, my sweet daughter. And the subject line is, the death of Dr. John Forsythe sounds like the missing scientists. Hello and thank you, and I will especially say thank you for your Epstein Files coverage. It has been so thorough and is honestly the only thing I've been able to actually digest and process. Everything else felt like drinking from the worst fire hose ever, so thanks. One of the weirdest things about the missing and dead scientist cases has been the seemingly spontaneous departure from their day-to-day life and the leaving behind of their phones. I remembered this case from my home state of Missouri about the mysterious disappearance and suicide, questionable, of Dr. John Forsythe. He was an ER doctor in a rural hospital and would stay in an RV in the hospital parking lot to avoid driving back and forth during the week. He got off an overnight shift, texted his pregnant fiance that he would see her soon, and then dropped off the map. They later found his car in a weird, hidden spot at a local park and found his cell phones and laptops inside. There was footage of him leaving the car seemingly with nothing on him, getting flashes of Melissa Casillas. His body was found days later across state lines in Alabama, and his death was ruled a suicide. But as soon as you look at the case, there are more and more layers. He had just gotten engaged to his pregnant fiance 4 days before he disappeared. He had also recently settled his divorce and child support with his ex-wife and would have to be paying $15,000 per month. According to his family, it was amicable, and they do not believe he killed himself. They do say he had been strange before he died and make comments about not living long to his mother, which they are interpreting as him being afraid of his life. It came out after he died that he told people he had been kidnapped and blackmailed about a year before he died, but didn't report it to anyone. He and his brother ran what sounds like a crypto pyramid scheme that got dicey with some people overseas. And when more details about how they found his body came out, it was definitely weird. He had $10,000 with cryptic notes written on them about a deal and how much he loves people in his life. And he died with duct tape over his mouth, from a gunshot to the top of his head, next to a lake, with no evidence for how he got there. Definitely didn't walk from Missouri where he left his car. Now police are saying he was a sex addict, depressed, and had texted a nurse at the hospital asking her to kill him. I wasn't able to find anyone online connecting him to the missing scientists, but there were crazy similarities. A spontaneous leaving, the phones, the skilled profession, the suspicious suicide scene, and the cops pulling a nuts and sluts game to try and justify the premature ruling of suicide. So, you guys know more than most. Do you think it fits? Well, what a fascinating case, Anonymous. Thank you for sending it in. I did not see, any sort of like connections to anti-gravity, antimatter, like biosciences, anything like that. But it was interesting to say that he said he had been kidnapped and blackmailed before and he hadn't reported it to anyone. So one wonders if, you know, you have some sort of financial dealings you need to square away. You go show up to pay the people and they're like, well, you're coming with us. Because that's a great point. I don't think he walked from Missouri to over the state line.
No, that would, no. Yeah. It
that's
seems like maybe he got in some financial difficulties and either didn't know another way out or wasn't given the opportunity to have another way out.
Yeah, it was duct tape over the mouth is wild. But apparently he had spoken to some family members and, you know, had dinner with his brother and, you know, just been like, there's never been another brother better than you. So maybe making some comments like that. But you don't know if you're doing that because you have plans or if someone's like, I'm going to kill you on Tuesday if you don't pay me this. And you're like, well, I don't have that. So they might try to kill me. So you kind of, it's so scary though, but I hope for his family that they solve it because if it was not suicide, oftentimes being deemed a suicide keeps the family from collecting on, you know, pensions, life insurance, things like, not maybe not pensions, but more like life insurance policy. So if it was homicide or act, you know, it doesn't sound like an accident, but if it was homicide, they absolutely deserve to know the truth of what happened. And, you know, especially if his fiance was pregnant, that's heartbreaking.
So sad.
Man, heartbreaking timing. But I think pattern spotting, you're not wrong as far as like, and that I think that's what makes everyone, I won't say suspicious, but looking at the scientist cases of like, this is a person with a routine and then they deviate from their routine. What was that catalyst? And I think both in this case and those cases, we're missing that catalyst that makes you wonder, like, what was it? And could it be the same? Yeah. Well, thanks, my sweet daughter Anonymous, for sending that one in. And we'll keep an eye on that case and let us know if there are any updates or if they, you know, getting more leads or because that's the type of person that takes a man over state lines and kills him. I don't want them out and about.
Well, I guess if you're an adult, it's different than if you take a child over state lines. Is there even more charges if you do that with adults?
Just depends on what, for what purpose. If you're going to take them over state lines, you know, for kidnapping, or, I guess. Something like that.
Yeah.
Depends. Yeah. But yeah, let us know. Thank you, Anonymous. Sinisterhood will be right back.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey Bowen, point of order. It feels like nothing is what it says it is anymore.
Point of answer. It's because everything has a catch.
Hey, or turns out to be something else entirely.
Like a total catfish situation.
Exactly, Bo.
Except for Hotels.com.
Yeah, that one's pretty literal.
Because it's Hotels.com. It's in the domain. You go there, you book hotels, hundreds of thousands of them.
And hold up, that's it?
That's it. Hmm. And when stays are booked as a member, rewards are earned every time.
Every stay?
Every stay. No tracking or managing, just rewards that can be used like cash on future bookings.
Which, by the way, already feels nicer than most rewards programs. Okay.
Yeah. Members can also get up to 20% off bookings, so savings start right away.
Does that mean no weird restrictions?
And no blackout dates. Book what works when it works. It's actually really fitting of real travel.
So the name is Honest, you're saying? And the rewards are too.
Exactly. Hotels.com. It's all in the name.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This next one is called My Grandpa Spoke Through Tarot, and it's from our friend Laver, who uses they-them pronouns. Hey y'all, I was listening to Freaky Friday episode 212 and just knew I had to write in again. My story of something or someone swiping through my security system screen was featured on Freaky Friday episode 6, though my name has changed since then. I still haven't seen any activity from that entity, but I have had two visits from my grandpa that I just felt needed to be heard. My grandpa was the positive role model in my life, so when he passed, it was gut-wrenching. The first anniversary of his passing, I decided to go hike through the mountains he grew up in and that aren't too far from my house. I was probably 2 miles from the trailhead, deep in the mountains of Utah, far from any kind of house, and just contemplating how much my grandpa meant to me and what he would want me to do with my life. Out of nowhere, I smelled Papa Murphy's pizza, freshly baked. It has such a distinct smell and always takes me back to the summers I would spend with him when that would be our Friday treat. I knew he was with me on that hike and that he was still watching over me. The other instance was 5 years later, once again in nature. Two friends and I had gone up to a reservoir to have a beautiful day in the sun and water. After chatting for hours and swimming in the frigid snowmelt, my friend Olivia pulled out her tarot deck and asked if I would like a reading. I had been struggling with leaving a high-demand religion, it's Utah, you can guess, and realizing that I am non-binary, hence the name change. But I had never really done anything with tarot or the metaphysical. I agreed, and Olivia had me shuffle and draw 3 cards as I contemplated my question. My mind immediately went to my grandpa. Would he approve of my life? Would he understand who I am? Would he be okay with me leaving the church? I laid out my three cards, and the very first card I turned had the skull of a buffalo on it. To me, my grandfather was always represented by the buffalo because he loved indigenous art and had a statue of a bronze buffalo by his door. He had the same docile demeanor as a buffalo, but also the rage should you hurt him or his loved ones. Seeing that buffalo skull flip over was a message straight from him. He was telling me that he loved me and that he was always going to love me, no matter what else came along, what I changed my name to, or who I loved. I've never felt closer to him than in that moment. That was the day I gave myself permission to start voicing my gender identity and actually decided on my new name, Laver, which was my grandma's, his wife's maiden name. I know he'd want me to honor her just as much as I honor him. The following summer, I got a buffalo tattooed on my left forearm to remember him and the messages he has sent me. The buffalo's head is facing forward as I walk, as I know he walks with me. Buffaloes face into the storm and actually run through it rather than away. My grandpa would want me to do the same in these unprecedented times. He was not one to keep quiet about things he disagreed with, and neither will I. Fuck Donald Trump, racists, misogynists, and transphobes. Because of them, I can't change my gender marker, my name, or even use my preferred pronouns at work for fear of my life. But I will be running through this storm and doing what I can to help others. Thank you for being a lifeline for others in red states who feel unheard and unsafe. We need more people like you. Stay creepy, Laver.
Well, Laver, happy Pride.
Hell yeah, with this buffalo.
If your grandpa was here, I think he'd say the exact same thing. What a wonderful tribute to him. I love when people put a lot of thought and intention behind their tattoos. Like, It's facing this way because he's always walking with me. I did not know they stand facing the storm and run into it. That's even more powerful of a symbol.
Yeah, that's so badass. And what a powerful symbol for all of us that we can now thank you for sharing your grandpa with us, that we can all take that. I feel like you need some I love and respect the, like, what is it? The Haka, like when the folks in New Zealand.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's something wonderful and beautiful about embodying like fierceness and feeling that fierceness. And so if for you, like the idea of embodying the fierceness and the movement of a buffalo helps inspire you, fuck yeah. Like, use that strength. We all draw on things, whether it's familial, culturally, whatever. And so I think that, you know, your grandpa really was with the pizza and with the buffalo. I love that.
I love that. What? I mean, you're in the woods. You smell Papa Murphy's pizza. If you smell pizza, period, in the woods, I'm like, who's making pizza? But Papa Murphy's with that specific smell. Mm-hmm. Smells are one of the quickest things that can take you back to a memory. And that's pretty fascinating that in the middle of the forest, unless some little gnomes were baking up a pizza down there, it seems like someone was sending that to you.
A little message. And I think too, yeah, if you're out in nature, that might be more conducive to opening your channel so that you can receive messages. So I feel like I get inspired in the woods and like on a hike and stuff. So that's a good place probably to get a little buffalo looking at your tattoo right now. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's great. And I couldn't agree more with the last paragraph of fuck all those people. Especially because right now you can't change your gender marker. You can't use your preferred name, your preferred pronouns. We're working towards a world where that will no longer be. And I will put out into the universe with my spells that's what we're headed, because it does feel overwhelming right now, but there's more of us than them.
Oh, definitely. There's always more ants than grasshoppers. And the day we can do it, I'll do your gender marker change for free if you're in Dallas. Come here. But, you know, I right now, even like some jurisdictions that let you do it, people are reticent to do it, because once you have that paperwork, I mean, those in charge, like Laver said, like, you know, you kind of go on a list, so you can't even do something that validates who you are. So that's not the kind of place I would like to live in. And I'm going to live to the year 2100. So I got to run like hell with my head down like a buffalo until right to the judge's desk. When Your Honorable Judge Christie, boom, hit that gavel, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I probably won't be around, but I'll have my head frozen like Walt right. Disney. And I'll still have my little
there with it is. Me. We'll do it. Mm. We'll finish that. We'll get it all done well before 2100. But that's the drop dead date. Well, thank you, Laver, for sharing that with us. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, is it just me or does it feel like nothing is actually what it says it is anymore?
Yeah, like when you order chicken fingers, you don't get fingers, you get mystery nuggets.
Exactly. Well, except Hotels.com.
I was going to say, yeah. Hotels.com, because they do hotels.
Refreshing.
And when booked as a member, rewards are earned every stay. Not points that disappear, rewards that work like cash and can actually be used.
So the name checks out and the perks do too.
Yep. Members can get up to 20% off tons of hotels with no blackout dates. Just works with real travel.
Okay, that tracks.
Hotels.com, it's all in the name.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&Cs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, this next one here is from Amber, and the subject line is, the time our rescue cat thwarted a church mission.
Love everything about that.
Hey there, my sisters and all things spooky. After hearing last week's Freaky Friday stories about people invading our safe spaces by coming into our houses to solicit, I knew I had to write in. Now, I've had one semi-scary experience with a door-to-door salesperson, but this is a much more humorous tale. My husband and I live in a pretty rural area. Door-to-door sales isn't a common thing just because of the distance between most residences. But this does not deter churches from coming around to hand out religious tracts, invite your kids to Bible school, etc. One beautiful, sunny Saturday afternoon, I was doing housework with my front door open. No one uses our front door as there is no walkway leading to it, and our driveway pulls up to our side door. Anyone who is welcome at our house knows to use the side door. That being said, imagine my dismay at seeing a man and a woman about my age walking through my front yard up to my front door. There have been a few instances of people having car trouble and asking if they could park in our drive or if we had a gas can they could borrow because although we're in a rural area, the area our house is on is considered one of the busier roads. But I didn't sense that type of urgency from them. I open the door and I'm immediately greeted by the man.
Hello, how are you today, ma'am? I'm so-and-so with blah 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 community church and this is my wife.
I try to be as polite as I could. I said, oh, hey, I'm good. I hope you're good too. I really don't want to waste your time. We're not a religious household. You know, we don't go to church, so we don't really have any desire to do so, but thanks. The man was not taking that for an answer.
Well, do you have any kids?
He asked. We do, I replied, but our youngest is 23 and he's not interested either, so y'all have a good day. He still wasn't having it.
Well, ma'am, will you just take this pamphlet and look it over? God can do some crazy things to your heart while you're sitting in a pew.
This whole interaction is going on with them standing on my front stoop and me in the living room with the door open. Not a common occurrence as we do cat rescue and all outside doors remain closed without a million safeguards put in place. Now entering the room is one of our rescue cats, Boozy, sensing the unusual occurrence. It is imperative to the story that I mention Boozy is not an average cat by any means. We love all our cats and think that every last one is wonderful and special in their own way. But Boozy is different. We're convinced that she's actually a human that was placed into a cat's body by a witch's spell. She's of superior intelligence and an impeccable judge of character. Also, she is completely terrifying looking when she's having one of her skin allergy flare-ups. She's a veterinary medical mystery, having been to veterinary specialists and veterinary schools of medicine in 2 states, and no one has been able to help her. While she's being treated with the most up-to-date medicines and therapies, they don't always work. She is happy and beautiful most of the time, but when she has a flare-up, her looks can be pretty startling as she loses hair, scratches some places raw, and generally looks like she crawled out of the pet cemetery. So, about the time this Bible thumper is trying to hand me his pamphlet, Boozy makes a run for the open door. I scoop her up in one swift movement, as this is not my first or even thousandth rodeo with her. Just about the time I bring her to chest level, he thrusts his pamphlet at me. Boozy knows that now is her time to shine. As soon as she's within reach, she attacks his hand, shreds the pamphlet, and sends him back and away. "Well, really?" he exclaims as they hastily retreat from our stoop and then our yard. I collapse in a fit of laughter on the couch while Boozy nonchalantly leaves the room like she didn't just make my day. And the best news is I haven't seen a church van near our house since. Pictures included of our amazing girl. Thank you for making me feel less alone in this hellscape we are living in. You make me feel vindicated and like I'm part of the cool kids for being angry and loud at all of the injustices occurring daily, especially in my very conservative area. You two ladies, the brown boys, the kiddos, and all of your pets are amazing. The end. Amber A.
This is such a good story. Thank you, Amber A, for your kind words. And Boozy is a queen. Let us all bow down to the booze.
This is literally a textbook cat. And by that, I mean, they're going to put her in textbooks because they can't figure out what's going on with her. Bless her heart. But I'll tell you what, the folks that were trying to thrust a pamphlet, I hope they'll think twice before. Take no for an answer, man.
First of all, after you say we're not interested, leave. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it shouldn't. Boozy was doing what Boozy needed to do, and it was called for. Nobody can blame Boozy. May we all have a Boozy in our house that when somebody will not leave the door after the first no,
if Boozy appears. Need to go Boozy on somebody, that means shred their shit. That means you run up behind your friend and shred the shit. If like your friend is getting like someone's not taking no for an answer, if you go up and Boozy somebody, that's being the ultimate wing person. And by that, you have to be the force of an allergic cat with a human spirit inside of you, placed there by a witch, shredding a man's pamphlet. That's incredible. Man, what a iconic moment for that cat. I would give that cat any and every treat Boozy ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Poor girl.
Oh, man. Crawled out of the damn, she do cherry. Is.
Bless her heart.
Boozy is beautiful. Like you said, Boozy is beautiful. Also, accurate description that she may have crawled out of the pet cemetery. Both we can hold
same
two
time.
Truths.
And as
the
person
time.
Who sometimes suffers from eczema patches, who hasn't among us scratched ourselves raw and looked crazy walking around?
I've had flare ups of all sorts, and don't come putting some shit near my face because I will go.
I will Boozy you like Boozy intended. Amber, I love that. Well, I love that you take care of so many wonderful cats too. That's sweet. Great. And Boozy's found a home with you. And like I said, I hope those folks learned a lesson. You know what I mean? It's fine if you want to try to spread the gospel, but be respectful if someone says no thanks. Also, do you have any kids? Why are you asking? What do you want to do with them?
No, don't. What is this? Yeah. Because first of all, we know that's a tactic. And also,
don't ask me about my kids.
I'm of the thought of don't go door to door spreading whatever it is you're proselytizing. Even if it's something I'm interested in, if I want to know about it, I will seek it out. I do not need you coming to my door, ringing the doorbell. Everybody loses their shit. Animals, kids, whatever. And then you got to like talk to somebody you don't want to and you're uncomfortable. Like, I will seek it out if I want you.
I feel door-to-door sales was so important in the age before we had television, internet, anything with advertising. Because like you said, if the thing exists, we would know about it. Somebody's yelled it at us from some angle. And the idea that you think whatever it is that you have that I would like to get up off of, I don't know, a toilet, the couch, my office chair, and go interrupt what I'm doing. It's just,
I'm not wearing a bra. 100%.
I definitely don't have shoes on. Never, ever do. And I have three dogs. Like you said, I'm blessed that I don't even have kids to get riled up. But I think about folks that it's like, if you have dogs, cats, kids, a parrot, and a motherfucker rings your doorbell. And God bless the people that your job forces you to go door to door. That's awful. That should be a crime. They shouldn't make you do that. I'm sorry.
It seems dangerous.
That's the other thing,
honestly.
Is you're ringing the doorbell. You don't know who's on the other side of this. I think that we as a society, am I crazy in thinking that we as a society, we've moved on from door-to-door sales. We need to just know.
No, yeah. I don't think if I want to change my Wi-Fi, my security system, how any of that shit. I don't need you coming to my door to sell it to me. I will just Google your name, your the company name, and then call and get the information.
And also, I had to fight against solar panel companies for several of my old folks' clients at Legal Aid because they would like kind of trick them or like tell them certain things. You know, or maybe she's just 87 and you talk to her for 3 hours and she doesn't know what she's signing. Anyways, I could go on. But all that to say, don't answer your door. You don't have to. And if you do, I don't know, bring sock bat with you. It's fine. Whatever.
My mom has a little cat plaque on her door that's like, no soliciting of any kind, religious, politics, sales. I don't want you ringing my doorbell. And I think that we should just normalize that.
100%. I think my mom says, I found Jesus. I don't need to buy anything. And unless you're selling Thin Mints, go away. So
I will answer the door for a Girl Scout.
If it is a Girl Scout, I'll give you, I'll pay $50. Anymore.
They because it's insane that we all went door to door selling cookies, or in my case, magazines. Yeah. Just, do you know how many strangers' houses I walked into selling chocolate bars?
That's crazy.
And magazines and sitting at their tables, signing them up. And they, this is back when people ordered magazines out of another magazine. And and a kid is the one that signed them up. And then you get enough signups and then maybe you get a Frisbee or whatever prize you're working towards. But I'm like, I cannot imagine Ella around the neighborhood. Like, sure, just go ring anybody's doorbell. Just go in anybody's house. It's totally fine.
Hey, you're 9. Take this briefcase and go do some transactions. Like, okay. Dude.
Yeah. It's walking crazy around the in the neighborhood with like straight up cash. A lot of cash too. So now I've got chocolate bars, which were so fucking good. If I could find the company that made the chocolate bars for my elementary middle school, I would buy them by the dozen. And I've got just loose cash on me.
So much money. Yeah, we were just, the Holderness family, they did a recent song that was like Gen X Summer, and it was just like, just driving around on your bike, your mom leaves a note that's like, I'll be home by 5, and you're like, do whatever you want. Go to somebody's house, a creek.
The best.
God knows.
Fucking best, man.
Getting a bacteria out of the house.
When you mentioned that one earlier, man. I'm like, damn, dude, just driving around. It's like, hey, I'm going out. I'll be home by curfew. And then you were just on your own because there weren't cell phones.
It's got a certain feel to it. It God damn.
Oh, man. I long
May
for
we all
it.
Have a safe version of our Gen X summer. Don't get a disease out of the water hose, but, you know, filter that water hose water.
Creek.
Yeah, God. Get you a life straw and then drink out of the creek. There you go. How about that? Man, oh, what a man. Time. Well, thank you, Amber, for that laugh.
Absolutely. Thank you to everybody who sent in your stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. And speaking of freaky, got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. We'll send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. Just put in your email. You get immediate access to Sunday Scaries. You get a whole bunch of content for free just for signing up as a thank you. And now, during Sunday Scaries, we will, like Pee-wee's Playhouse, be coming up with a secret word that is good for 50% off your first month, but it's only good. You got to use it within 24 hours. So for new members, if you're signing up, you can use that code. You got to be at Sunday Scaries to get it, which is the fun thing. Last week, it was Spatchcock. Let's see what we come up with this week.
We said first idea, best idea. Y'all vote on them, and they all emojied Spatchcock. So we're like, we're going Spatchcock, baby. So show up to the stream, which is free. It costs nothing to go to the stream. But you can try some of the content out by using the discount code. You can also do a free trial as well. That's where you join at one of the tiers. Check out all the perks. Binge everything, like our new minisode on the UAP disclosures, our latest Unpopular Opinions episode, our Just No Mother-in-Law. We got a True Crime Headlines coming up. I am amidst writing, as well as a Heather Saves that I could not be more thrilled for. So those are on the agenda. But stick around for a year. You get 1 month free and so much more.
Mm-hmm. Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live stream bonus content that we let you all vote on what you want to see, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the, I'm going beyond internet, I'm saying planet.
In the whole galaxy. Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch, t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much for all the kind words and 5 stars. You can submit topics for in cases you can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. Freaky Friday stories, Sunday scary videos, and there also all the information and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027. It's going to be on the biggest ship Royal Caribbean has. I don't know about maybe just going on too. And we've got so many more creators joining us this time. It's just going to be such a fun week. I can't wait.
It's an all-star lineup. We can't wait to see y'all there. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo, baby. From happy birthdays, birth announcements, to whatever you got going on, we want to pep you up, hype you up, give you advice, whatever it is. It's a video that's custom made just for you. It can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's completely custom every time, and you don't have to put your pants on to buy it. Go to www.cameo.com/sinisterhood, the website, to get the best deal. And book one now. Where can people find you on the websites?
Oh, I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy and Wallace, and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, is it just me or does it feel like nothing is actually what it says it is anymore?
Yeah, like when you order chicken fingers, you don't get fingers, you get mystery nuggets.
Exactly. Well, except Hotels.com.
I was going to say, Hotels.com, because they do hotels.
Refreshing.
And when booked as a member, rewards are earned every stay. Not points that disappear, rewards that work like cash and can actually be used.
So the name checks out and the perks do too.
Yep. Members can get up to 20% off tons of hotels with no blackout dates. Just works with real travel.
Okay, that tracks.
Hotels.com, it's all in the name.
Introducing the all-new Mazda CX-5. Featuring more connection.
Hey, Google, where's the nearest Pilates class?
Safety that has your back. More discovery on the scenic routes. More passion in the details. And more control in changing weather. The all-new Mazda CX-5. More to move every side of you. See it in 5 films at MazdaUSA.com/5sides.
Google is a trademark of Google LLC. Sequences shortened and simulated.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.